Housing costs jumped in Wisconsin during the pandemic. That's pushing the dream of home ownership further away for a lot of people. And it's adding pressure to the state's rental market, too. Our next guest says the problem has gotten so bad it should be considered a five-alarm fire. And if he says if trends continue, it could cause young people to leave the state altogether, adding to problems with Wisconsin's worker shortage. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you seen housing costs go up where you live? Did you try to buy a home during the pandemic? How'd it go? If you're a renter, what's it been like trying to find an affordable place to rent? Builders and landlords love to hear your perspective too. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Kurt Paulson is a professor of urban planning at UW-Madison. Kurt, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me back.
I feel like I say this a lot. This is a problem that was going on before the pandemic, and it seems like the pandemic made it worse. Let's go back to pre-pandemic. What were we starting to see then with our housing market?
So across Wisconsin, and particularly in our faster-growing counties, you saw pre-pandemic the fact that we simply did not build enough housing to keep up with population growth and job growth. And so that meant that prices were going up even before the pandemic. And for younger families, first-time home buyers, renters, that meant that it was even hard to find a home, even though interest rates were kind of low, and we were still building a lot of homes. So as you pointed out in the introduction, COVID is just fanning the flames of an already existing kind of burning ember. And in COVID, we saw a huge increase in demand as people realized they wanted to get more space. And then the supply chain difficulties meant that lumber, appliances, all sorts of inputs into housing just skyrocketed in cost.
We'll tackle each of those in turn. What was leading to that shortfall in housing construction that wasn't keeping up with the growth in demand, again, even pre-pandemic?
Right. So as we like to say, when there's a high demand for housing in an area, it's usually caused by job growth or amenities that people want, such as schools. So the solution is always to build more housing where people want to live. But you asked about the challenge. And the true challenge is that most of the people who are already living there don't want more housing to be built. So every time a developer is proposing whether a couple of houses or an apartment building, it has to go through a zoning and local government approval process. And the existing homeowners in the community generally take the view that our neighborhood is full. We can't take more housing. We don't want the extra traffic or school children to crowd the schools. So it's largely, but not completely, driven by the local land use approval process that doesn't allow more housing to be built where people want to live.
Now let's
the other the ahead. Other factor, of course, is after the Great Recession, banks and lenders tightened lending standards, which just makes it harder for a builder to get a land loan to start building new housing.
Then here comes the pandemic. You mentioned the increased building costs. Can you give us a sense of how big those are? Looking at charts of, you know, lumber and some other things, you really see how much they've increased.
Right. So we like to say that lumber for a 1,000 board feet used to be about $200. And during the pandemic, it was five or six times that, even up to $1,200 for a 1,000 board feet. Today, it's cheap. It's down to only $900. That's meant as a joke. Mm-hmm. It still means that for a single family home, of normal framing costs might be about $30,000. And now it might be $75,000 to $80,000. So for the inputs into a single family house in the last 2 years have gone up 36%. And you see similar cost increases for multifamily construction. And that includes not only lumber, but that includes all of the things that go into a house, whether drywall, electrical fixtures, plumbing, appliances, all of that has gone up largely because of demand increase, but also supply chain disruptions.
We're talking to Kurt Paulson, professor of urban planning at UW-Madison, looking at the high cost of housing, a lot of factors leading to the cost of houses going up, also rent going up. You can join in with your questions, maybe your own personal experiences at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Okay, Kurt, we've got this a large generation of millennials. It's a time in their lives when historically they'd be expected to want to buy a house. What is the reality facing them right now?
Well, as we like to say, it's almost a perfect storm for millennials. So the peak millennial, which is the largest generation in American history, is about 30 or 31 years old today. So that's peak home buying years. So if you look at what happened to the median price of a home for purchase during the pandemic, in a lot of Wisconsin counties, that went up $50,000 to $75,000 in the pandemic. So that means that the entry level price, that bottom rung of the housing ladder, is increasingly out of reach for millennials. Second, because of student loan debt that a lot of millennials have, a dollar in student loan debt is a dollar that you cannot put to mortgage debt because of changes to mortgage underwriting rules after the Great Recession in 2008. The third component is, as your rents keep going up and your costs keep going up, it's harder and harder to save for that down payment. So in some ways, it's a triple whammy. And it means that millennials might be persistently shut out of the housing market, because even if they can find something to buy in this tight supply market, they're outcompeted by borrowers who can pay all cash or who will waive inspection contingency. And then the fourth factor, as you heard in the news report today, interest rates are going up. The Federal Reserve just today raised their target interest rate 50 basis points or half a percentage point. And what we will expect is that mortgage rates, which have already climbed a lot in the last 2 months, that mortgage interest rates will go up again in the coming days and weeks.
Can you talk a little about the renter market? You mentioned rents going up. What is driving that?
So like a lot of factors, it's a combination of too much demand and too little supply. So rents in most Wisconsin counties have gone up 10 to even 15 or 20% in the last 2 years. A couple of things have driving that. Number one, a lot of people who would otherwise own a home have been shut out of the ownership market, and so they are staying in the rental market or entering the rental market. That provides competition. The second factor is that the cost of building new rental housing has also gone up about 30 or 35%. So we like to say that the closest substitute for new housing is existing housing, or the closest substitute for existing housing is new housing. So in both the single family and the rental side, when the cost to build new stuff goes way up, then the price of the existing stuff also goes up just because they're substitutes for each other in the market. So a combination of not building enough housing and increased demand and then increased cost of new stuff means that rents have gone up 10 or 15%. And we'll also point out that for most renters, even though their income has gone up during the pandemic, the rent has gone up more, which means on net, you're further behind.
We're talking to Kurt Paulson, professor of urban planning at UW-Madison, with us today to talk about the housing crisis in Wisconsin, housing costs going up, rent costs too, and what it might take to make housing in the state more affordable. You can join in now at 800-642-1234. Are we talking about you? Have you struggled to try to buy a home with the big price increases during the pandemic? Success or no? Does buying a home feel completely off the table for you? If you rent, what are you seeing? Are you able to live anywhere near where you work? If you work in housing construction or in rentals, what are you seeing out there? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation, look at some possible solutions coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about a lack of affordable housing in Wisconsin, how that can impact everyone, especially the large group of millennials who are at the typical home buying age. Kurt Paulson with UW-Madison stays with us. You can join in at 800-642-1234. We want to hear your thoughts, your questions, maybe your experience as a renter, a homeowner, somebody trying to buy or sell a home right now, or if you're in building, are you able to get the supplies you need at a reasonable price? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We heard from Bella in southeastern Wisconsin, Kurt, who wondered in part, why aren't politicians doing something to tackle this problem?
Well, that's a great question. I think the reason you don't see a lot of legislative initiatives is it's difficult, it's complicated, and it's expensive. But largely, I think it's because it's been a slow-burning crisis that's been building over the last decade. And if truth be told, you know, the majority of Americans, the majority of Wisconsinites, live in homes that they already own. And for those of us who already live in owned homes, it's actually not a crisis, is it? Because we see that our values are going up. Now, of course, we can't realize that gain until we sell. And if you sell, you have to move somewhere else that's also more expensive. But I think that's the main reason, is that it's a slow-burning crisis. It's not an immediate kind of crisis that drives people to do something. But I would always point out to economic development officials, legislators, that if you don't take any action, then you're going to continue to see these trends continue. And we can just project out where that goes. And if house prices keep going up, and home ownership for low and moderate income households, for first-time home buyers, for young people continues to go down, we're just going to continue to have this challenge in the state.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Tim is with us in Madison. Tim, hi.
Hi. Yeah, they should have never did away with the first-time homeowners buyers program that HUD had out. That helped me get a house and several people I know.
And Tim, could I ask, how long ago were you able to use that program to get your first house?
Yeah, it was about 5 years ago now.
Tim, thanks for the call. I'm not familiar with it, the first-time homeowner program, excuse me, Kurt, via Housing and Urban Development.
Yeah. Yeah, there's actually a large number of first-time homebuyer programs, which can include down payment assistance programs. I know that our state housing agency, WEDA, the Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority, has a number of resources and programs available for first-time home buyers. I think he may be referring to, after 2008, there was a short-lived first-time home buyer tax credit at the federal level, which really did help a lot of people to be able to buy that first home. And so I think we should definitely encourage our legislators at the state and federal level to think about what are the various financial incentives that help younger people to buy that first home, whether it's a reduced cost on the mortgage, whether it's down payment assistance programs, whether it's perhaps tax-advantaged savings programs so that people can save for down payment. I think, as Tim pointed out, a lot of people, including in my generation, were able to get help through these various first-time home buyer programs. And a lot of those have just become not as well funded. And of course, you know, for many first-time homebuyers, saving for that down payment is one of the hardest tasks. And they are sitting there and seeing that as house prices keep going up, the dollars they have to save for a down payment are also going up. So anything we can do, whether it's student loan relief or matching programs with employers, or even tax-advantaged savings accounts to help people save for that down payment will help us to create purchase-ready homeowners.
Thanks for that call, Tim, at 800-642-1234. We're talking to Kurt Paulson, professor of urban planning at UW-Madison, looking at the high cost of housing in Wisconsin, renting and buying. You can join in still with your, maybe your story at 800-642-1234 or your possible solutions. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Kurt, is part of the story the kind of housing, the size of houses, the number of bedrooms, the units available to people?
Yes. So one of the things we know is that the fastest growing household type is one and two person households. As we have fewer children and as we age, we have households that no longer meet that kind of 1950s sitcom nuclear family that needs a three or four bedroom house. So one of the things we have to think about doing is providing more flexibility to builders to build smaller condo units or townhouse units, or even what are sometimes called accessory dwelling units or granny flats, ways that people can live in smaller housing units rather than the traditional kind of suburban large-scale home on a large-scale lot. Unfortunately, I think a lot of our communities, because in their zoning ordinances and in what they want that larger home on the larger lot. But the truth is that's just not the majority of households that we see demanding housing today. So any flexibility you can have at a local level to let builders build smaller, more flexible housing types will really help us address this backlog of housing needs.
Let's go back to our callers now. Justin is with us in Madison. Justin, hello.
I had a question about how you believe Airbnb and VRBO rentals play a role in the cost of housing.
Justin, thanks for that call. Kurt, I've heard concerns in some communities, very popular with tourists in particular, where housing that people could live in is instead is being bought and rented out via those services Justin mentioned.
Right, and I've heard this to be much more of a concern in those really expensive coastal metros like Los Angeles, San Francisco, and New York. And I can imagine it would be a concern in Madison or Green Bay or Milwaukee. But the truth is, I don't think in these housing markets you're seeing a whole lot of demand for Airbnb. But one of the solutions is either to regulate what homeowners can do with their homes, or it's also to just allow more houses to be built in areas where there's a lot of demand for this type of housing. So I guess that's kind of a Weasley answer. I don't know whether it's really a problem in Wisconsin, but I know it's a big concern on the coast.
Justin, thanks for the call. Sonia joins us now in Rice Lake. Sonia, hello.
Hello.
What did you want to tell us about, Sonia?
So my partner and I just bought a house in Rice Lake, Wisconsin, which is about 45 minutes north of Eau Claire. The big problem that we were having was trying to buy a house with a down payment and being priced out basically by people who would bring in all cash offers.
Wow. You were able, you were successful eventually though, Sonia.
Yeah. It took a little finagling and finding a house that no one wanted, but we got one.
Well, I'm glad you've got a house, and I hope you want it, Sonia. Thanks for sharing that. Sonia, not alone in that, Kurt.
No, absolutely. We hear this story all the time. And what it really means is if you are one of these first-time home buyers, and maybe you're using one of the government programs that helps first-time home buyers, whether that is FHA, or if you have a Veterans Administration loan or a USDA loan in rural areas like Barron County, where Sonia is, those require an inspection of the property. And many buyers, when they think that there's multiple offers, they're going to choose the offer that is all cash, doesn't have a finance contingency or an inspection contingency. So as Sonia pointed out, most of our first-time homebuyers, our younger families, are getting outbid. And a lot of them don't want to or cannot pay $30,000 or $50,000 over asking price. Because especially now with mortgage rates going up, they're kind of stretching even to buy that entry-level house price point. So again, the market is really out of whack right now. It's going to start cooling down a little bit because of the interest rate increases. But that's further bad news for people who want to buy homes because their dollar doesn't stretch as far as it used to.
Sonia, thanks for the call. Time for one more caller. Tom is with us in Green Bay. Tom, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your story, Tom?
Are you there?
Yep, go for it.
Okay. I am a landlord. I have a lot of
single family, two family duplexes. We just had a place for rent on Facebook, and typically 98 out of 100 people that call or email us, I should say, have bad credit, police calls where they're at, evictions, no income, poor landlord references. And even though there's a lot of people that can't find housing, I think the reason that they can't find housing is because they have a poor track record.
Tom, thanks for the call. We don't have too much time left, but Kurt, if you are, I guess landlords might think of them as marginal renters, somebody who doesn't have a great credit history and other things Tom listed, that's got to be even more difficult to find housing.
Right, and it's a double-edged sword because you can understand why landlords might be hesitant to rent to someone with that credit, but also when rental markets are really tight, landlords get really choosy. And so folks who have maybe a ding on their credit history or an eviction, it makes it really hard to find housing. And that's where largely our housing service agencies, our nonprofits, can really work with clients and help them to present a good application, to provide wraparound or supportive services as needed. But I'll be honest, you hear stories on both sides and it's pretty rough out there. If you can't find a decent place to live, you still have to find some place to live. And oftentimes, people who are the most marginalized or vulnerable end up in really kind of precarious housing situations, as Tom was talking about.
Tom, thanks for the call. And Kurt, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me again.
That's Kurt Paulson with UW-Madison's Department of Urban Planning, looking at an affordability crisis in Wisconsin's housing market.